I love what Brandon had to say about don't settle for anything than less than anything. Don't settle for less. Just don't do it. And when you settle for anything besides God, you're settling for less. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to be about the master's business here a little bit this morning. Tim, come up here. We're making a transition. We're in the process of it, and we're doing everything we can to make it happen. The enemy seemed like he's trying to do everything to thwart that, but the enemy's a liar. And come February 13th, we are making the transition officially. He will be transitioning into the role of senior pastor, and I will be his superior in the spirit, because God's got a call upon him, and he's got an anointing that's going to be transferred even more than what's been coming, but that day on February 13th, it's going to be transferred to you. But the weight of that and those things that are happening in light of just what God's doing, the hand of God doing, the best thing that we can do is do what God wants us to do. And for a long time, I remember, just to give you a little bit, you okay standing? Okay. I don't want to have to give you mouth to mouth. You don't want me to have to give you mouth. But a year ago, we were in a board meeting, and Pastor Charlie was, of course, with us, and Brandon was with us, and Tom was with us, and Tim and I. And a lady by the name of Debbie had come on the scene. And I knew that some things were happening, and so I just shared with the board. I said, there's some possibilities that the transition that we've been moving toward for some time. Tim has been here about 13 years, a little over now.
14.
Time goes by fast when you're with me, doesn't it?
Actually, 15.
Yeah. Even faster. But I just shared with them, I thought maybe this would probably be my last year as senior pastor, and I wasn't for sure. And when I said that, Brandon started crying. And Brandon, he's a soft touch anyhow. but he started crying, and I thought, well, he's surely crying because I'm talking about leaving. Which was not the case at all. He looked at me, he said, Pastor, in my heart, I have known for over a year now that Tim was going to become my pastor. And I looked over at Tom, my gray-haired friend that's very dependable and never leave me nor forsake me, and Tom was going,
yeah.
And I looked over at Pastor Charlie and same thing. And I think to myself, well, I'm out of here. And but the transition was brought along a little bit quicker just because, and then we kind of got in, headed toward that way. We're going to do it a week before Thanksgiving, and then Tim had a bout with COVID, thank God, which he is victorious in and through in Jesus' name. But his lung capacity needs to develop, and he's been without, he doesn't use oxygen at home, and for probably 2 weeks or so now. Yeah. And he's had to fight for that, but he's willing to fight. And you want a pastor, there'd be some people would wonder. Matter of fact, I would just say to you, don't ever worry about how this thing came. It was an attack of the enemy. And you might have done some things wrong, but dear God, if the enemy had his way in any of our lives because we did something wrong, we'd all be sucking right now. The grace of God's moving in our lives. The grace of God's moving in your life. Moving in your and Kristen's life. You know, she said one time, she should have never said that. She said, I'll never marry a pastor. So God let her marry you while you were yet a heathen. She was thinking, no way he'll ever become a pastor. I'm just teasing a little bit. But anyhow, Brandon and Charlie and Tom, they were all in agreement that transition, we're going to start moving toward that. And so we're getting closer, and February 13th will be it. And just let me share with you what's going to happen. February 6th will be the last Sunday that I minister a message here as senior pastor. I'm not saying I'll never give a message here again, but as senior pastor, that will be my last message on February 6th. And then February 13th will be the transition service where we will make the transition from my position. I've been here for a lot of years, 40 years. And 38 of that's been senior pastor. And I don't know how I feel when that day happens, but I know how happy I am now that it's happening. And I'm happy that God chose this man. And I've recognized the anointing on him for a long time. And I learned a little bit. I'd have him fill in for me from time to time. And when I'd come back, the people that listened to and were ministered to by him, they would invite me to leave more often, which I thought was a good sign. I didn't take that as something to be jealous of or anything, but I just thought, well, they're receiving from him. And that's the case. And so while I was praying during praise and worship, I was just kind of trying to listen to the Lord. And I felt impressed of the Lord to do something Wednesday night when I was here, but it just didn't seem right. The time didn't seem right. You know, sometimes you can have something from the Lord and the time just doesn't seem right. And this morning the time is right. And what I wanted to do then is I wanted to bring what I saw happening as I'm bringing Tim up to the front. And then I was going to call upon the men of this church that believe God, that trust God, to make a commitment to pray for him from now through, for sure, February 13th, but continue to do so. Because we want him strong and at full capacity when February 13th comes around. Amen. Which also happens to be my 1 year anniversary of marriage. And Debbie's going to come and she's coming just to make sure I don't stay. And she's been so gracious to be supportive of my coming back. I literally I've driven a lot of miles, but I have regrets for none of them. I really don't. And so as I was praying this morning, I got kind of, this 2 Timothy 1:7 that I want. Men, if you know Tim and you feel comfortable coming up, but I want you to commit to praying for him every day. We'll pray together today, but starting tomorrow at 7:07 every morning. And the scripture that I want us to really point and just focus on as the people of God, as the men of God, comes out of 2 Timothy 1:7. For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. And so how we want to pray that is for God will never give Tim the spirit of fear, but will give Tim the Holy Spirit who gives him mighty power, love, and self-control. And we're going to believe that to be manifest in his life on a regular basis. So, men, you want to commit to doing that 7:07 every morning, and you feel that that's something you'd love to do, I want you to come up and surround Tim. Tim, stand right over here if you would. Hallelujah. Now listen, I don't want you up here if you're not going to do this. Because we don't want any leak links. Amen. Leak winks. Tim, turn around. Look at this. Look at all these guys. Stretch your hands out if you can get your hands on him. Otherwise, put it on the guy in front of you. Father, thank you. Thank you right now. Thank you for this man that you've raised up. Thank you for the Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace. And Father, thank you for a man that's not intimidated by the enemy. And I thank you, Lord, that as according to Scripture says, God has not given Tim a spirit of fear, but he has given him one of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God, every morning at 7:07 for the next few weeks, we will pray that over this man. And we thank you for his lung capacity to come to fullness. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that the confidence will come into fruality. And Father God, he will walk bold and strong as you've called him to do. And we thank you, Lord. I thank you for the anointing of God. Lord, to bring that to pass, and you're working an effectual cure in his body. And we thank you for it. We give you praise for it in that name, which is above every name, the name Jesus. And all agree to that said.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for standing. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then when you're thinking about it, think about Kristen, their family. Because, you know, when you start getting into position leadership, you become a target. I don't care what level. I don't care what level. But in ministry especially, it seems like if you can wound the shepherd, you can wound the church. But bless God. I just watched in Guymon, Oklahoma, Pastor Charlie step into heaven. But the people that were there, and that just reminded me, I just wanted to come home and start hugging the people in leadership and working in our church. Because you guys have made this thing go. I mean, in a season of the unknown, you've really kept yourself focused on He who is known. And I tell people all the time, they say, well, how's the church doing? I said, those people are wonderful. I pastor some of the best people in the world. And that will never change. I will always thank God for that. This church gave me an opportunity to grow up, and they stuck with me when I needed to grow up. And some didn't. Some left. And I see people all the time downtown that should be here, but they're not. Because they've decided they'd rather walk in the flesh than walk in the spirit. And everybody has that choice. You have a choice whether or not you want to forgive. You don't have to forgive. It's to your benefit that you do. Amen. Brandon and I told him the story about the board meeting. That was right, wasn't it? He started crying because, not because I was leaving, but because you were, maybe you were. Those are happy tears for me. But God surrounded me with great men like that, and for that I'm just thankful. I really am. I've got young men and different men that serve. God's raising up a good host of young men, and we're going to be a part of that, and we're not going to quit. I turned 73 here in another week and a half, week from Tuesday, actually. I know I don't look 73. I don't feel 73. I feel like I could go on forever. But I do know this. It's always good to be ready. So if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, be ready. That's one of the best things you can be, is ready to see your Maker. Praise the Lord. Well, I've got one pretty good joke to tell you. Amen. You're going to have to pick up the anointing for jokes, Tim. You'll probably just put them in a hole and leave them there. But Mr. Green peered over his fence and noticed that the neighbor's little boy was in his backyard filling in a hole. Curious about what the youngster was up to, Mr. Green asked, "What are you doing, Jimmy?" Tearfully, little Jimmy replied, "My goldfish died, and I've just buried him." "That's an awfully large hole for a goldfish, isn't it?" Mr. Green said. Patting down the last bit of earth, little Joy replied, "That's because he's in your cat." That is so good. Carly, I know you're a cat lover. So, nothing against cat lovers. I just thought that was a great, great. That's because he's in your cat. Yeah, well, amen. Well, praise the Lord. I've got a good message. I just believe God can get it out of me. Because I know what's in me. And I know what God can do. You know, I don't ever do this. Matter of fact, I don't know that I've ever done this. But what's your first name?
Ty.
Ty?
Yeah.
I heard the Lord say, Lord is not surprised by anything. He knew you were going to show up here this morning.
Yeah.
And he said, the message that you're going to hear today can change things around that seem to be upside down. And it will be a new beginning for you if you'll take it, you'll walk with it. It's for everybody. The Word of God is. But the Lord just wanted me to say to you, it's specifically for you. And the rest of us just get to kind of sit and listen. But it's for all of us. The Word of God is for whosoever will partake of it. Sometimes we get in such a position in our life where we don't think there's really any way out. But, you know, God always prepares a way out. The condemnation of the enemy always tells you there is no way out. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit will tell you on a regular basis that there is a way of the Lord. There's a new and living way, and we can walk in it because His mercy is new every day. We all have a past. And we're just continually walking in Christ. We're walking away from that past. And we're not going to drag it along with us. If I drug it along with me, dear God, it would be miles long. I'm talking about yours. Mine's not so long. All of us are there. But I'm telling you, if we get to the place where we can understand the laws of the harvest, the laws of spirit, of sowing and reaping, and understanding that we are the sum total, whether we like it or not, sometimes we're in the positions we're in because of the seed that's been planted in our lives, and typically by our own doing. But we can undo that. That's why Jesus came. That's why He came into our life. We think that we come into the kingdom of God, we get born again, washed by that blood. We think it's a one-time thing. No, it's an everyday thing. Bless God, that blood's flowing every day. It's washing us, it's cleansing us, it's keeping us where we need to be. And we're not going to turn back for anybody. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I may have a past that most people say, matter of fact, when my kids were growing up, we'd go back and visit Lakin, the town I grew up in. People that knew me... Roman likes this, isn't it? People would come up to my children and they'd say, if you really want to know what your dad was like, just ask me. They had no clue what I was like because I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. The man that they knew no longer exists. He died. And so when they finally start realizing, there's something different about you. Yes, there is. It's called a relationship with Jesus Christ. We come into the kingdom of God for such a time as this. And we pull back for no one, nobody. I don't care what's happened in our lives. God's the one that we call the turnaround God. He's the God that's more than enough in every situation that we have given ourselves to by free will or if just the enemy blindsided us. I don't care what it is. God always will make a way out. We just got to stop those situations from happening. Sometimes just by controlling the words that come out of our mouth. Sometimes our mouth, the Bible says sometimes we're snared by the words of our mouth. I don't know if you've ever been snared by the words of your mouth, but I have. But today's a new day. Bless God, this is the first day of the rest of our life. New day. New day of boldness, a new day of believing, a new day of not drawing back, a new day of being part of a body of believers, bless God, that's got some backbone, and they're not backing down for anything. You know, you better not talk about that. That's the enemy might get mad at. He's already mad at it. He hates your guts. Wise person once told me, she said, I was raised for times such as this. I was raised to enforce the defeat of the enemy. Glory to God. The promise of Scripture is this. The promise of Scripture. This is God's promise. This is forever settled in heaven and on earth. This is for every household, every home. Every home, like we were talking about the other day with Craig, every home a lighthouse for God. God wants to lighten up your house. Brighten it up with His glory. Brighten it up with His peace that passes all understanding. We may think there's no way to get our life to where it needs to be or where we thought it would be. But I'm telling you, God has a plan to get it way beyond what you ever dreamed it could be. You're not judged based upon your past actions. That's why Jesus came. Every one of us need a Savior. We need a Savior not just once, but we need Him the rest of eternity. Every time we see him in heaven, we'll understand that the scars in his hands, they're for me. The rest of us are going to be totally healed. We're going to have heavenly bodies. Most people, I told this at Lil's memorial service, and people got to laugh at him, but I said, most people, the glorified body in heaven, it's like a 30-year-old person. I said, well, kind of like me. They did what you did. They kind of laughed. But we have a future. And I believe this. I understand. I'm looking for, if Jesus could come back right now, I'd say, hallelujah, come on, Lord. But if he tarries, he's got a really wonderful plan for your life. And it's better than you dream possible. And he is not slack concerning his promises to you and to me. The promise and warning of Scripture, if you will, is that we reap what we sow. But having said that, have it said it over and over again, you can pray for a crop failure on words, on things and deeds that you have sown. You bring them under the blood. And the blood washes and cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then have we fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all. Everybody say all. All sin. People may want to remind you, but you know what? I just remind them they're not God. People literally, probably for the most part, don't like to forgive. The only time they want forgiveness is when they need it for themselves. But they want to hold everybody else accountable. Well, God's made a way where there seems to be no way. So the promise and warning of Scripture is that we reap what we sow. This means that life's choices are filled with consequences. How many of you think that's right? But it goes on to say, both good and bad. Both good and bad. Temporal and eternal. Reaping what we sow means we reap only what has been sown. We reap in kind as we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. We reap more than we sow, but we also reap in proportion to how we sow. The whole idea is, as we do now, so then we shall be. Everything we do today, you and me, everything we do today, we're becoming what we're going to be. Tomorrow, the same thing, we're becoming what we're going to be. I'm so glad I got washed by the blood of Jesus. I remember years ago when I came back to Hayes to start my tenure here in July of 81, there was a young, actually, most people I knew back then were a lot younger. But there's one man by the name of Steve. He worked at what's now Hayes Chevrolet. I saw him in the mall. And we are good friends in college. We belonged, this is a whole other story, but we belonged to the Rat Pack. Which was a fraternity, a mock fraternity, if you will, that we, a bunch of us started, a bunch of us got asked to leave fraternities because we just didn't agree with frat life, so we just did obnoxious carnal things. And we even made, there's not a Greek letter for the letter R, but we just pretended it was, and so we made t-shirts, sweatshirts that said Rho Alpha Tau, R-A-T, Rat Pack. And if you were at the Fort Hayes homecoming this year, they had a float in the parade. I no way I could be on that, but, because they're just a bunch of sinners. But anyhow, one of them was this friend of mine that I met in the mall when I came here back in 1981, walking down the mall in Hayes, which is always made fun of by friends that come back from other communities. Now it's called Big Crossing. Right? Big Creek. Yes. Anyhow, we're walking down, and he sees me. He's on this side. I'm coming this way, going north. He's going south. And he always called me trees, oak trees. He called me trees. Trees, what are you doing? I said, well, I just moved to Hayes. He says, well, what'd you move to Hayes for? And I said, well, I'm a pastor and I am working at a church called Joy Fellowship at that time. And he looked at me with real sincerity. He said, "The hell you are." I said, "No, by heaven's grace, I am." And so, nice knowing you. But the good thing about it is, he had the opportunity to watch me, to listen to me, to watch my family grow up, and watch them not always be so perfect, but knew that they were just good kids. My kids were good kids, are good kids. And remember one day coming into, I went in to see him. I bought a car there for one of my, I think it might have been Kristen's car. And he said, "Wes, I just want you to know I gave my heart to the Lord." I said, "Well, that's awesome. I got my life right with the Lord." See, a lot of times people don't get to, we think sometimes it's just for sinners. Sometimes it's also for saints to just kind of get things reestablished. Get yourself back on that foundation where you belong. But grace always is the way to and the way to stay there and to stand there. You do reap what you sow, but man, I'm telling you, if you reap some bad seed or reap some bad harvest because of bad seed, ask God for a crop failure with those words and with those actions. Galatians 6, out of the, this is out of the Passion Translation, says this: "God will never be mocked, for what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed you planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good deeds of spirit life, you will reap beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. And don't allow yourselves to be weary in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you planted is coming. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing, to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith." That's a wonderful passage of scripture. Listen to this one out of Hosea 10, verse 12, New Living Translation. "I said," Hosea said, the prophetic man, "plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, and he may come and shower righteousness upon you." Isn't that good? Yes. "That he may come and shower righteousness." Righteousness, just a plain definition, is just you having right standing with God. I can stand before God without a sense of shame, guilt, or condemnation. And that's showered on us every day when we make the right choice. Then it goes on to say, and this is sometimes these are hard scriptures. And I know this is Old Testament. Old Testament, bless God, they were under the law. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not under the law. But bless the Lord Jesus, we're under grace. And by grace have you been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. You do nothing to earn it. But Hosea went on to say in verse 13, "But you have cultivated wickedness and harvested a thriving crop of sins." And that works today. Even if we're born again believers, you can make wrong decisions. You can be in need of attitudinal adjustments. And God is willing to get you back to where all he wants you to do is walk in love. Not just toward one another, but toward him. I'm amazed at how many times I hear people say, "I'm mad at God." Listen, God is your best solution for getting out of the mess you're in. And you're in the mess, and if we're honest, God has never put us in a position to be defeated, to be killed prematurely, to die of sickness or disease. Why would he give his son Jesus to take upon himself the sins of the world, to take upon himself the sickness and disease of the world, take upon himself the full brunt of the curse of the law for you and for me. Why would he not want us to be well? Why would he not want us to be delivered? Why would he not want us to be victorious? Why would he not want us to down the road say, you know, I was there by the grace of God. I am where I am right now, but I'm telling you where I've been, and I have come from there. The journey's been wonderful. Sometimes it's been slower than I think, but I know this. God has gotten me to where he wants, and there's still an overabundant flow of his life coming in me, and I will not miss out on anything that God has for me. I am going to reap what I sow. When I sow kindness, people are kind to me. When I love people, when I say nice things to people, I get that back. You say, what happens if they don't do that? Then you tie them to a tree and pray for them all night. Not so much. You got to understand, you reap what you've sown, good or bad. I think mature people can handle that. Life's filled with choices. I remember going back. Brandon has been here a long time, started going here in high school. He didn't come here by the Holy Spirit. He came here by the Holy Shana. But going from that young, youthful age to just where he is now, but I watched him all along the way, and there's a lot of people like this. I'm just using this as a quick example, but he was ministering a message back to the youth, and I don't know if I was sitting back there listening, or I think it was in here, but, and that's back when 180 first started, we at times had 300 teenagers in here. And all the other churches at that time, they weren't having youth group, and I thought, wow, kids want to have a youth group? Yeah, we had, not all the time, but when we first got started, a couple times we had over 300, and the rest of the time it ran over 100 real easily on a regular basis. And we're going to get back to some of those days, because I believe kids are hungry for the things of God. But Brandon taught a little message on choices. And I thought, you know what? That is a good message. I'm going to preach that, and I'm not going to tell anybody where I got it from. But that message has rung loud in me since he ministered it, and that's been years ago, and we talk about that from the time. We are the sum total of the choices that we make, good or bad. And most people don't understand, well, God just, he's upset with me, you know. No. You need to be upset with you and your own attitude. You are the captain of your soul, if you will. You're the one that allows into your soul what goes into your soul. That's why Jesus told you and me, he says, you take authority over every thought. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of me. And I'll see to it that you walk in peace. Peace, the peace of God. Here's what the true peace of God is. It comes into a broken situation and fixes it. It's a pretty simple definition. But when all your problems are fixed, you're a much calmer person. And sometimes you just take that by faith. Faith is calling those things that be not as though they are. Now, I'm saying this, and please hear me, because I think sometimes people say, well, I must really be messed up. And at the same time, you may not have really done anything to open a door, but you got to understand there is a devil. And he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you read through Mark chapter 4, when it starts talking about the sower sows the word, the most important thing that can be sown into a person's life is the seed of the word of God. The Bible says the word of God is the incorruptible seed of the word of God. You cannot corrupt God's word. So if you can get a revelation of God's word in your life, you are settled and you're standing on a foundation that cannot be shook. Cannot be shook. And so we begin to bring our mind, and when we're born again, we come into the kingdom of God, we're transformed spiritually, instantaneously, we are the spitting image of Jesus Christ. That's hard for some people to understand, but that's supernatural. And so the only thing that's changed and literally steps from death into life instantly is your spirit man. And you are a threefold being, you are a spirit man, you live in a body, you possess a soul. And so when we come into the body of Christ and we begin to learn about who we are, the Bible says we make sure that we're not conformed to this world by the transformation of our mind. And the only way I know to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only thing that can renew your mind is the Word of God. And then you begin to retrain your body not to like pecan pie. Still working on that. Or just things that are not good for you. And you make yourself come to the place, and you make yourself, you have the choice. Every person has, you can go out of here and mess your life up today. Brandon works at a bank. You can go rob his bank tomorrow. You don't have my permission, but you could do that as a believer. And because you've done that, which would not be wise, you could end up having some consequences. Choices have consequences. Listen to what it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly. But understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. And another word for that, you know, drunk with wine, they are alluding to the fact that you can be drunk, but it also just means a spirit of rebellion. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Psalms 90 verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom to apply the Word of God. A life comes from something that exists before. And here's the thing that I think sometimes we don't understand. Nothing comes unless it came by a seed being planted. This whole universe was created by the seed of the Word of God. God spoke it into existence. He had it in his heart, spoke it into existence. And it's still creating, being created at the speed of thought. Some people say the speed of light, but I say the speed of thought. That's faster than the speed of light. Because there's some stars that are multiplied millions of light years away. In other words, if you started traveling at the speed of light to certain stars, it would take you multiplied millions of years to get there. All you're seeing is the light that came from that star, and you're not seeing the actual star. They are so far out there, and there's no way you'd ever get to, but by thought, boom. God's pretty awesome. And He is smarter than us. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, that means you. Listen to him. We reap only what we sow. Everything reproduces after its own kind. I've been around people that all the time, there's people that you've heard me talk about. When I went to the class in college I did not want to take was speech class. I was horrified about getting up in front of people and talking. My mouth, I still get a dry mouth, but not from being frightened. Just from talking so much. And but it was just something that I had a fear of doing. And then when the Lord called me in the ministry, I thought, holy mackerel, I'm going to have to get up in front of people. Well, I didn't know anything about the anointing of God back then. But I know the first couple of times I got up in front of people, something changed on the inside of me. Some anointing. I recognize it as anointing now, but it began to flow out of me, and it helped me overcome a fear. God wants you to be fearless in this life. You do not give place to fear. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, who brings terror and fear into our life. He brings it into our life so that we think there's no way out. But bless God, when we know Jesus, He's the one that said, I'm the way. And He's always the way. So I think when I get into a tight spot, Lord, I need to hear from You. I know what's going on. I know what's happened. I just need Your help. And I'm asking you, sir, to help me get through this. And any time I made that decision, he has been so faithful to walk me through some pretty tough moments. We often try to do things on our own and under our own power, but we can't. God wants to use us, but he wants to use us in a way that we're trusting him fully for the way out. And all the grief that said, I understand this. And just from what I said so far, the laws of sowing and reaping, most people just simply apply them to finances. That's really on the bottom part of the totem pole that God wants us believing him for or sowing for. Really, God, the most important thing to God that we sow are seeds of character. That we become more like him. That doesn't negate the fact that we shouldn't sow financial seed at all. But I'm just saying that should not be the former thing, the priority of our sowing and reaping. It's fine. If the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it says, for as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. When you guys walked out your front door this morning, did you see that the earth was still here? So every day we have opportunity to sow seeds of righteousness into our life. If you want to be rich, sow money. Everything produces after its own kind. Well, Pastor, I don't want to be rich. I don't want to get into that prosperity stuff. Well, that's a slap in the face of Jesus, because the Bible said he took upon himself our poverty so that we could take upon ourselves his prosperity or his riches. And it's talking about material gain. I'm always amazed at people that fight the prosperity message, they still take up offerings. Why? I mean, that's like Dumb and Dumber. I've been there. It doesn't work. There was a gentleman from here. By the way, I'm implementing before I leave, we're going to start receiving offerings every Wednesday as well. Because I want to give you as many opportunities as you can have to sow financially into your future. Your future is in your seat. We did that at Light of the World. And I told some of you heard this, but Pastor and David and I, we got married as a couple. We decided we have a checking account together, and then we also had a savings account that we wanted to start planting seed in. And that got to a sizable amount, the savings account. And we did some things around the house there that cost thousands of dollars, and we paid for it, cash. And every now and then I kept thinking, I'm going to get into that savings account, and I'm going to use that to pay for this, pay for that. And I never had freedom to do it. Every time I thought about doing it, the Lord said, no. So about a month and a half ago, I'm sitting in that office, and the Lord says, you got so much money in that savings account, don't you? And I said, yes, sir. He said, how about sowing that? See anybody else up there? How about sowing that? I said, yes, sir, I would be glad to. And so Debbie came on. I said, Lord, Debbie, the Lord spoke to me, and I just wanted to see if you would be in agreement. The Lord wants us to sow basically all our savings into our future. And she said, I think that's awesome. So we went to the church people, and for a couple of weeks we started talking about sowing a significant seed into your future, financial. And we did it low key. We did it with no pressure. I said, if you'd want to be a part of this, because I really believe the Lord's in it, and I believe we're in an accelerated period of time in our lives where the harvest realized from this is going to come quicker. Matter of fact, I feel like the Lord told me, believe me for it to happen in 2022. Amen. I said, okay. So we got up and shared with the people. We told them this last week was the day that everybody's going to bring their significant offering, and I was talking with Debbie on the phone this morning. I said, how much has come in since we did that? She said, $62,400. I said, well, glory be to God. Now, what excites me is the people that got involved, they're going to reap an incredible harvest. We're going to hear some incredible testimony. See, I think sometimes I'm not afraid to talk to you about money, because I understand if you drive through a drive-thru and you've ordered something, and they get up and you get up there and they're going to ask you to do what? Pay for it. How do you think they would look at you if you just look back and say, you're just going to have to take my word for it? Someday you will be paid. They would look back and give you that, you're an idiot look. Rightfully so. But when we receive from the Word of God, and the Bible says when the Word of God's been sown into our lives, that we sow back into the men and women of God that literally sowed that word into you. We sow finances into them. And God promises you this, that He will reproduce of the same kind that you sowed. Some people say, well, God doesn't multiply money. How do you know that? I had people for a long time talk to me about, Pastor, I just don't agree with the tithing thing. I said, well, how's that working for you? I remember when we had, now for me it was a large amount of debt. We had 50-some thousand dollars of unsecured debt, credit cards. And don't ask me how we got there. We just got there by my wise management of funds, which is a joke. But we were there. And we had... everything that came in went to pay payments. It sucked. And so I just said, Lord, I need a way out. But I will tell you this, Lord, any extra income that comes my way, I'll not spend it for nothing. I will pay it on debt. And the time frame from when I said that to when it was finally paid off was right at 18 months. Over $50,000 of unsecured debt. I had people call me and said, Wes, are you believing for money? I said, yes, I am. I didn't say, well, you know, it'd be, you know, I'm kind of, sort of, maybe. Yes, I am. They said, well, you, Lord just spoke to me this morning and told me to send you $2,000. I said, will you send it? Because I know right where it's going. And I agree with you for a return on your finances. We had miracles like that happen a lot. God even, see proof up. God even blesses idiots. God doesn't give up on you. People will give up on you, but God doesn't. He has a new and living way for you. That's why I hang out with Him. I learn things the hard way, and I don't like to learn them experientially, but I thank God I'm learning them. Listen, there is a law of sowing and reaping, and it works. Sometimes we just need God to grace our hearts so that we have the boldness to believe Him when it looks like things are unbelievable. The hardest time to trust God is when it doesn't look like anything's possible. And the times like that with God, when you start talking to Him, say, God, I'm kind of in a position I feel like I have to trust You, but I just want You to know, I trust You. And You're going to do for me what You said You'd do. You watch over Your word to perform it in my life. And I'm going to be obedient to do what You tell me to do. And I also might mention that when I paid off that debt, I just kept on sowing in the kingdom of God. I kept on tithing and I kept on giving offerings. And so that, all that money came in supernaturally. Some of it, you know, I tell people, some of it came in by inheritance, but I don't have a problem with that. I used it for the right thing. And I started believing God. And so when we got ready to pay off, the final push on this building was about $77,000. That we borrowed from a bank, Brandon's bank, the Bank of Hayes. They were real gracious. And the Lord told Sandy and I that he wanted us to pay at least 20% of that. And so we made the decision to pay 20% of it. And we, matter of fact, we gave a little bit over that by the time it was all said and done. But the thing that was amazing to us, he said this, if you help me pay off my house, I'll help you pay off yours. And we paid off the church in a December, on a December payment. And in January, just a month away, I wrote a check out for over $152,000 to pay my house off. God's awesome. So when people come to me and say, well, I don't believe in that prosperity stuff. Well, yeah. In the back of my mind, I say, you're dumb. You're really not smart. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. And I believe he wants us to have some steak. Listen, you can eat all the kale you want. I can sanctify that steak to bless God be better than the kale. My prayer works. I want some moo juice on my plate. Not that thick. Oh, Dad, you've got to try this kale salad. Oh, dear Lord, somebody shoot. Shoot that kale. And listen, if you got a wonderful diet and you're all into whole foods, and God bless you, but the Bible says everything can be taken if you sanctify it by the word of God and prayer. Everything. So I'm not eating kale for you. I'm glad you like it. But kale comes from hail. Every now and then, Tim would get that cooking look on him and cook some ribs. Isaiah does that once in a while. But, you know, you put before me his ribs and a plate of kale, I can tell you. And if you feel good eating that kind of stuff, help yourself. And I think you should watch, you know, just don't eat a whole lot. But, you know, what's temperate to me may not be temperate to you. Amen. Hallelujah. The gist of today's message is that with God, there's always a way out. And it's one that makes you come out smelling like a rose. You are not a stench in God's nostrils. You are a sweet savor unto Him. Amen. Glory to God. You know, if I wasn't in the ministry and I heard this message early on, I would have thanked God for it. And I did hear these kind of messages early on. And it's amazing how still in the body of Christ you have people poo-pooing the word of faith. They're making fun of faith. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. So you probably need to learn what faith is. It's just not a bunch of people blabbing and grabbing stuff. But, you know, you get saved by saying with your mouth what you believe in your heart. And that principle continues to work throughout your entire life. Saying with your mouth what you believe in your heart. God has made a way where there seems to be no way. Devil will say, I've got you. There is no way out. And God said, got it. There is a way with me. His name happens to be Jesus. And you can't stop that. And all the grief that said. Amen. Stand with me if you would, please. Hallelujah. What's going to happen at 7:07 in the morning? Set your alarm. Set your phone. I don't have it. Siri, set the alarm for 7:07 repeatedly. Just say this with me. If you want to, you don't have to, but I think it would benefit you to say it. But just say this with me. Heavenly Father, today is the first day of the rest of my life. And I promise you, Lord, that I will do everything within my power that lines up with your will to live as you've called me to live. And I thank you that I come behind and no good thing. You have given me abundance. Spirit, soul, body. Financially. Relationally. And the devil cannot stop it. In Jesus' name. The fullness of your pleasure is going to be realized by my fulfilling your purpose for my life. And it has yet to be fulfilled, but I believe by faith it is so filled. And I thank you. As I walk in the midst of these struggles, I walk in the peace of God that passes all understanding, that will garrison about my heart and my mind, and keep me in Christ Jesus. And Father, I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. That may seem like a short message. So how's that going to turn out? It just takes one word from God to change a life around. And a lot of these people, if you knew how most of them all came from the gutter, not true. But we all need help. Amen. But this thing will, you'll be amazed. And you'll be amazed in 2022. Matter of fact, the Lord told me before this year started, I was praying over some people with some people, and I heard the Lord say, 2022, a year anew for you. And you came here, and I'm telling you, that word is just as much for you as it was for me. 2022, a year anew for you. Amen. So when the enemy comes and tells you anything different, no. In Jesus' name, 2022, a year anew for me. And it will affect not just you, but it affects the whole. It's going to have a rippling effect. You're going to make people nervous. Amen. Just need a little encouragement. Amen. Well, anybody really ticked off that you came? Anybody happy they came? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, tell somebody right next to you, it's not over until you say it's over. And none of us are saying it's over. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you today. I thank you. Lord, I pronounce blessing. I pronounce your peace. I pronounce your goodness. I pronounce your understanding. I pronounce everything that you are to us through your Son, Jesus. I count it as manifest in every home represented here today. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all agree with that said, amen, amen. Well, tell somebody you like them on the way out. That may be the first time they've heard that in a long time.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.